This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
As-Satir, the concealer. As-Satir doesn't appear in the Quran, but it does appear in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In a hadith reported by Abu Dawood, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna Allah hayyun sittirun," that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is modest and a concealer. He loves modesty and concealment. And so if any one of you bathes, they should conceal themselves. So popularly, the attribution of Ya Satir is done. You know, people say Ya Satir, especially when a calamity happens or when they're afraid of something or when someone trips or something like that, right? Whether it's a minor or a major calamity. But Satir isn't one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sittir is the name of Allah. And so a person says Ya Sittir. Funnily enough, I remember being in my village in Sudan once and somebody tripped or something like that, and I said, Ya Sittir. And everybody started laughing at me and they were like, oh, this funny American, he doesn't speak Arabic well. It's Ya Satir. And I tried to explain to them that no, it's not Ya Satir. It's actually Allah's name is Sittir. But obviously I wasn't going to win that argument because they were just going to look at me and say, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. But in any case, Sittir means to conceal. And the meaning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being a Sittir, as Al-Bayhaqi mentions, is that he conceals the faults of his servants and he doesn't expose them publicly. He also loves that they conceal their own faults and that they avoid that which would humiliate them. The fruits of this name, I think, are obvious. Number one is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing his mercy, knowing his forbearance, and that he knows what we do and he doesn't expose us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all of our shortcomings, all of our mistakes, and he hides them away from people. Ibn Jawzi said, if people are amazed by you, then they are only amazed at how beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed your faults. The second fruit is to be shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing that Allah sees you should make one ashamed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals their faults again and again and again. And thirdly, that you adorn yourself with this characteristic, loving for your own sins to be concealed, and also loving for the sins of your brothers and sisters to be concealed, not wanting for them to be exposed, not wanting for them to spread in society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who love that immorality should be publicized, should spread amongst those who believe, they will have a painful punishment in the dunya and the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah knows and you do not know. This is a threat for everybody who does that, whether it's through the vehicle of art or music or film, TV or social media, or through academia, or through any other cultural catalyst such as fashion. They need to be very aware that they don't become a vehicle for it to spread. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises them painful punishment in this world and the hereafter. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, all of my ummah are forgiven. Kulla ummati mu'afa illa al-mujahirun. So this is with regards to concealing your own sins. The Sahaba, they didn't know what that word meant. They said, Ya Rasulullah, who are the mujahirun? Like, who are they? And he said, a person who commits a sin at night and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals their fault. And then in the morning, they go out and they say, oh, so-and-so, I did such and such last night. They uncover the cover of Allah. So this was a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had concealed their sins. They committed a sin at night. And then in the next day, they go and they brag about it to their friends on social media, or they bring those sins into the public sphere somewhere. Those people are not forgiven. And people might think, like, I don't want to be fake, I want to be real. But hiding your sins isn't being fake. Hiding your sins is not hypocrisy. Hiding your sins is iman. It is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger would love for you to do, that you hide your sins, that you hide the sin of others, and that you don't investigate into the private lives of the Muslims. Because we're social creatures at the end of the day. We're influenced by the actions of the people around us. And our environments play a crucial role in what we allow for ourselves. And so if I make my sins public, then I make it that much easier for someone else to do the same thing. I would have influenced them in a negative way in that moment, and I would have become, in that moment, an instrument for the message of shaitan instead of an instrument for the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. You know, I once had a very close friend of mine, and he told me, this is after years of spending time together, he said, Alhamdulillah, I finally quit smoking. And I was surprised by the question that I was asking him. I said, when did you start? I didn't realize that he had been smoking. You know, he was one of my closest friends throughout college and high school, and you spend an incredible amount of time with people, and he hid the fact that he smoked really well. But what that allowed for him to do is to never let smoking become a part of his public identity. He never influenced anyone else. He never befriended people based on a shared vice. It was so that in his own time, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the ability to conquer that sin, he was able to let go seamlessly. And as far as hiding the sins of others, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, that whoever conceals the faults of a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal their faults. And there was a companion named Ma'iz who committed adultery. And his story is mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim and in the books of Sunan. He was burdened by the weight of the sin that he committed when he committed adultery. And his friend Hazzal brought him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to confess. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to dismiss the idea because he doesn't want to implement the had. And so he says to him, perhaps you only kissed, perhaps you only touched, perhaps you only looked. And the man said, no, ya Rasulullah, I committed adultery. And he confessed. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still turned away from him. And then he confessed again. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still turned away from him. And he confessed again. So in four times, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns away from him. And then he still confesses four times. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then has him stoned. But he says something incredible to Hazzad, that man who brought him. And that version, what I'm sharing with you, is reported by Imam Malik in the Muwatta. He says, Ya Hazzad, لو سترته بثوبك, or he said, لو سترته بردائك لكان خيرا لك. If you had concealed him with your cloak, it would have been better for you. It would have been better for you to conceal him than to bring him to me for judgment. The Sharia loves concealment. The Sharia loves concealment. And as far as not investigating into the sins and the faults of others, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يا معشر من آمن بلسانه, O community of people who believe with their tongues, but iman yet has not settled in their hearts, do not seek out the awrat of the Muslims. Don't seek out the faults of the Muslims. Don't seek out the faults of the Muslims, because whoever seeks out the faults of the Muslims, Allah will seek out their faults. And whoever Allah seeks out their faults, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose them, even if it's in the privacy of their home. And so not seeking out the faults of others, not investigating into the private lives of others, that is not our culture, that is not our deen. You don't investigate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left and has concealed for somebody else. And that hadith is reported by Abu Dawood. And then there's the popular question, which is, okay, when am I allowed to expose somebody? When can I? So Imam An-Nawi, he mentions six types of times in which it is allowed to speak about somebody, to speak about the faults of somebody, to present the faults of somebody, to backbite somebody even. The first type is tadhalum, when a person's been oppressed. So I'm looking to seek the removal of oppression from myself. The second one is if I need assistance in changing munkar, I need help removing a transgression back to goodness. If that's their goal, then it wouldn't be haram. The third is in seeking fatwa. I have a question and I need to go and ask and I need to share some details about somebody. Like famously, Hind bint Utbah, the wife of Abu Sufyan, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said, my husband Abu Sufyan is a stingy person. He doesn't give me money. Am I allowed to take from his money without him knowing? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, bil ma'ruf. Yes, within reason. Now, obviously, Abu Sufyan is one of the chiefs of Mecca. He's one of the chiefs of Quraysh. He wouldn't like for his wife Hind to be going around telling people that he's stingy. In fact, he would love to be known for his generosity. But the point here is that Hind, the wife, is allowed to come and ask and to share something that her husband wouldn't like about him because she's seeking to know what is allowed for her, right? So seeking fatwa. So the fourth one is warning people of the harm of somebody. Let's say, for example, someone is a serial scammer. You know, they're always scamming people. In different communities, they go from community to community scamming people. No, I need to warn people of that person. They need to avoid the harm of this person. Or number five, the fifth one is someone who's a fasiq, someone who's a known transgressor. That person doesn't have that sanctity. So if I say, for example, Ahmed, which Ahmed? Ahmed, the one from this country, which Ahmed from that country? Ahmed, the drug dealer. Oh, you can't call him a drug dealer. No, everybody knows he's a drug dealer. The guy's been selling drugs for 10 years. You can't say, no, you can't backbite this person. This person is a transgressor and they don't have that sanctity. If I'm mentioning that particular aspect, I can't sit there and backbite him about every aspect of his life, but just that particular aspect. The last one is to identify someone. If someone is known by a name like Al-A'mash or Al-Asam or Al-A'ma, for example, the blind person or the deaf person or the person who's got Al-A'raj, the person with a limp. Like these are some famous names that even some of our scholars had. But even if it's a degrading nickname, as long as they're not offended by it, and if it becomes something that's a dominant characteristic or it becomes a dominant name that person has, if it's something that, number one, doesn't offend them, because even if it offends them, even if it's the most famous name in the world, if it offends them, they're not allowed to be called that by you. But if they say, you know what, I don't mind it at all, that's kind of my nickname, I think it's cute, my grandmother called it to me when I was a kid and I grew up with that nickname, right? So if that's the case, then it becomes allowed for you to use it if it becomes something that's just their name, that's what people know them as. The last thing that I'll mention with you before we close is Ibn Umar was asked, can you please tell me about the private conversation that will happen with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment? And Ibn Umar said, yes. On the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring a servant forward, and then they will be concealed. It will just be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the servant. They will be concealed from everybody else. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them, "Do you remember this sin? Do you remember this sin? Do you remember this sin?" And the person will say, "Yes, O Allah." They'll think that they've been destroyed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that private conversation, Allah will say to them, "I concealed those sins for you in the dunya, and I am forgiving them for you now." That is a beautiful moment that happens on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-sittir. He loves for sins to be concealed, so much so that even on the Day of Judgment, people around won't even hear what those sins were. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was he used to say in the morning, "Allahumma istir awrati," "Oh Allah, conceal my faults." We ask Allah as-sittir to conceal our faults in the dunya and to conceal our faults on the Day of Judgment, and to forgive them on the day that we meet him. Allahumma ameen.